This morning, we want to talk about family groups, and that will mean nothing to you in many respects. It will mean a lot to you by the end of the services. Both Josh and I will be involved in the presenting of this lesson. But I want us to introduce the lesson by thinking about the church as the perfection of God's plan. You thought about that? Just read those words and think about what they say. For 4,000 years, God had been doing something on this earth, and the Bible said it had not entered into the heart of man what God had prepared, and yet now all of a sudden it becomes a reality. I wonder if you would imagine what you would have understood about the church had you been there on the day of Pentecost. And then I want you to forget about what you think about when you think about church in this 21st century. You know what most folks think of when they think about church? Sunday morning worship. That's generally what we think about. Well, it's something I do on Sunday. You know, the other day is my week. But, you know, they're sort of mine and everything. But Sunday, that's what church is all about. We need to wipe that idea out of our mind. That concept, and a lot of it came from when the Catholic Church held sway over so much of the religious world, that it was important to attend Mass, and as long as you got there in time to confess your sins, you were all right, and that's what church was. I want to tell you something. If you'd been a member of the church on the day of Pentecost, you never, ever would have gotten the concept that the church had, that the primary aspect of the church had to do with Sunday morning. I'm not going to minimize what has just happened in this service. There's nothing that compares with this time around this table. When the family of God comes and we share the Lord's Supper together, I'm not going to minimize that. But if our concept of the church has to do only with what happens in this building on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or Wednesday night, guys, you got to wipe that out of your memory. That's just not what. And to prove that, look at the book of Acts. They didn't know what was happening. They just knew that they had gathered there from some 14 or 15 different geographical locations. And then all of a sudden they'd heard the preaching of the gospel, and they had embraced the preaching of the gospel. And I'm not sure if everybody from every one of those localities became a part of the church, but it's possible, isn't it? There were devout men gathered at Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, from every nation under heaven. And when they heard that preaching, they that gladly received the Lord were baptized, and the Lord added unto them 3,000 souls. There's the church. It's now reality. What is church? Well, I think it's rather ironic how little Sunday worship is mentioned in the book of Acts. The book of Acts wants to tell us about the history of the church. You know what church looks like? You think about those 14 nationalities that are there, and the 20 nationalities that are part of the church here at Palm Beach Lakes. You know, it's rather ironic. What are we supposed to be? Supposed to be like that church back there. Get your Bibles out. Let's just spend just briefly as we can, plow some of the grounds that we covered last week when David went through the book of Acts, and he said, you know what church is like? There's the apostles' teaching, verse 42, and there's the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, and there is the prayers, and there is the fellowship. And then look at what happened. Verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, ate their food with gladness and simplicity, and they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day, folks were becoming a part of the church. What's church all about? Well, it's the apostles. And here is this teaching, and here's this amazing fellowship, this commonness that the 14 nationalities had there and that the 20 nationalities in this church has in this place. And it was great. And there was singleness of heart, and there was unity, and they were breaking bread from house to house. That's not the Lord's Supper. That's done in the assembly. And so they were eating together. What's church all about? It is a great, great time for us to find our place in the kingdom of God. You begin looking at this. Look over in chapter 6, and there is the matter of caring for widows. Church is involved in caring for the widows. I don't know the exact number. I checked a few years ago. 42 widows in this church. We have any obligation to them? Church in the first century really felt like they had an obligation. And James says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's what church is all about. Look back in chapter 5, where there are these individuals who are not really the most godly people on earth. Their names are Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible talks about the fact that they were killed. They were slain because they lied. But look in verse 6. Young men arose and wrapped him, Ananias, and carried him out and buried him. And when in verse 10, when Sapphira dies, these same young men are out there involved in helping in a funeral kind of situation. Isn't that amazing? What's church all about? It has to do with funerals, doesn't it? And here's some folks that are not the most godly folks in church, but the church is concerned about them. And when you get over into chapter 8, after Stephen is killed in the latter part of chapter 7, you get over in chapter 8, and in chapter 8, this time it's not the young men that are specified, but young people, look at that. Who was it that buried Ananias and Sapphira? The young men did it. Church, not just old folks. Here are these individuals that are there, and those in chapters 8 and verse 2 are described as devout men that were involved in the burial, in Stephen's burial. You look at it again, and you see all that is involved in what's happening in the church. Look in chapter 9, and we'll not be able to look at all of these, but in chapter 9, the church is involved, and in that situation, there are some new members. And so in verse 26 and verse 27 of chapter 9, There is Barnabas that is there, and there is Saul, and when he comes to Jerusalem, everybody's afraid of him. We don't want this man in this church. He's trying to be a part of this church. He doesn't fit with us because you know his past. You know what he's like. You know what he did. We don't want him in this church. And there's Barnabas, and he goes out of his way, and they were afraid of him. Church is taking care of those who become a part of the church. And thank God for the new members that we have in this church. But church is involved in that. You involved in church? I didn't say you're involved in worship. You're involved in church. Here's their funerals. And here are these things that are involved in that. In fact, Barnabas was given the name Encourager because he encouraged people. You want to see what church is all about? Then look how Barnabas takes John Mark. Takes one of these young men of the church, relative of his, but that's immaterial. He takes a young man by the name of John Mark and gets him involved. What's church all about? It's getting you young people. You're not in your seat. Well, some of you are. I can't look at our teens. It's getting you guys involved in church. And that's what Barnabas did. And if we're involved in the church, guess what we're going to do? We're going to be involved in doing the very same thing they did in the... What's church like? Folks in the book of Acts, tell me what church is like. Well, it's Sunday morning. No, that's not what it's all about. That's not to minimize it, but that is to say church is far more than we ever begin to imagine that. In chapter 16, they do the same thing with Timothy. And Paul takes Timothy, and he and Silas take a young man and carry with him out to do mission work. Look at that, young people. We send you on mission trips. And here is Timothy sent on a mission trip. Has a great leader, a little bit better than the ones we've got. We had an apostle leading it in the book of Acts, but it's involving young people in the saving of souls. What's church all about? I want to ask you something. Not do you come to church on Sunday morning. Are you involved in the church? Are you a part of the church? That's a totally different question. And you and I need to understand that when the church is the perfection of God's plan, we need to understand that it is the place where there's room for everybody to serve. Remember back in chapter 12 when Peter's arrested? And there's Mary and the church assembles in her house. And there's Rhoda. There's that young lady. I think she's 12 years of age. There's Rhoda and she's at the door trying to take care of people that are coming. And whenever Peter knocks on the door, she's there for him. What's church all about? It's Mary providing her home, and it's the church there, and they got this great problem, and the church is praying. But, you know, that house probably wasn't big enough for all of the church, was it? And so here they are, and they're having this meeting up at Mary's house, and there they are worshiping and praying to God, and there's everybody there, including those who are 12 years of age. That's what church is all about. they took care of their missionaries. In Acts chapter 14, when they come back from, and report to the church about the things that have happened on that missionary journey, they take care of their missionaries. You and I need to understand that it's a place of encouragement, and we've talked about that. And I love the point David made last week about there were many lights in that upper room where Eutychus fell out the window. You know that story in Acts chapter 20? Somebody had to unlock the building. Somebody had to light the lights, and somebody had to clean the place and get everything ready. Somebody had to clean up the blood that was on the ground down there, by the way, after Eutychus fell down there. Somebody had to turn the lights out. What's church? Church's involvement, folks, finding a place to serve. And with our theme this year, with God we can. The emphasis this month is with God we can find a place to serve. And then on the screen is this matter of these one another passages. We've preached lessons about the one another verses. You know what church is all about? It's about one another. One another. And that's why the Bible describes the church as a family. And so we're having the emphasis in our work, and especially since Josh has come back to work as our family youth evangelist, trying to help us see ourselves as a family, not as a group of this age and a group of that age, even though we still have those groups, and we'll always have those groups. There will always be young adults. You won't always be in it, young adults. Someday you'll be in the senior citizen group. But there will always be those groups that naturally form. But church involves people, and it involves family. And so today we're introducing not a program, we're introducing a concept. It's going to be called family groups. Let me just briefly tell you what it is not. Family groups is not the area program we had when we were over there on 36th Street, when everybody geographically lived reasonably close to that building. You know, when we had the area groups that were over there, Wellington hardly existed at all. We didn't have anybody lived. Everybody lived around that building over there. And we had a great program that was called the Area Program, and there were some really great things that came out of that. And now we've got the Cornerstone group, and it's not to say that it's not a good thing, but is there something better? Is there something better that we can have as a church? And so whenever we begin talking about these family groups, and as we talk about them today, and as we talk about them, you know, in the coming months, we want you to understand that we're not just taking Cornerstone or Area or Zone or the Agape groups, or whatever we've called it in the past, and said, now we're going to do it, and it's the same thing. Erase from your mind those kinds of groups. It's a different kind of approach. And it's one that I think that you will be excited about as you hear about it. And who is better to tell us about these family groups than Josh Blackmore? Our missionary has returned from Paraguay and is now working with this church. Josh, come and talk to us about family groups.
First, thank you for sitting in your groups. There were those. It was my idea, by the way, so if you want to throw something, it's me. But there were those among us who said, oh, I don't know if it'll happen. And I was like, I don't know. We'll see. But it worked, and you're sitting in different groups, and thank you for that. I know it's uncomfortable. Maybe it's a different perspective, isn't it? Right? Now, you know, Kara and I, since we've been here, haven't really sat in the same spot every single time. We've bounced around. Some of you have had questions about that and have been, you know, lobbying for us to sit in a certain section. But now you have a different perspective on worship this morning. But as we look at where we are and where we're sitting in our groups, and we're going to have to, you know, we talk about change and this is going to be different. We initially had to move the ancient landmarks. And so what is now group one is Donald Ross and North. And so you're getting an idea of where that is. Group two, Donald Ross to Blue Heron. Group three, Blue Heron to Southern Boulevard, and then Southern Boulevard to Point South. And so that's our new makeup as far as where we're looking at and what makes up our groups. And as you sit here, this is the church that represents Palm Beach County. If we look at, Palm Beach County, you look at the next slide, here's where we are. You know, we look at, this is where we are one day a week, 2 days a week, here in this building. But here's where we are every day of the week. Here's where we live. Now, we took Google Maps and we put your addresses on Google Maps and spit them out and made this color-coded awesome picture of of where we live. What influence does the church have in Palm Beach County, in Martin County, in Broward? And so here's where we are. Now, if we look at this image, we have some people that travel to be here. We have people who have made dedications. I'm going to travel 45 minutes to an hour to be there and worship because it's that important. And so we can see how spread out we are. And as we see how spread out we are, we had to change things and move things around. But as we look at this image, we have a huge influence in this area, don't we? We have a huge influence. That, to me, when I saw that image, was like, that is awesome. That is exciting. That's just where you live. That's just where you live. But to see it, and how much it covers Palm Beach County, and how much influence the church has during the week. Now, as we think about that, think about this next concept. Think about the church, and there's different ways the church has been described and talked about in the Bible. But if you go to the next slide, is that a net? Can you think about the church as a net? Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 and 48. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, and gathering fish of every kind. And it was filled, they drew it up upon the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad fish they threw away. Now, we're not here to talk about the good fish and the bad fish and the judgment, but we're here to talk about the aspect of the church as a dragnet. We're bringing them in. We need to funnel them in. And so as we look at this concept, as we look at this family group concept, it's the family group focus is evangelism. Is that not the work of the church primarily, is evangelistic? When we are about our Father's business, what business are we doing? And so evangelism, if we look, think about that dragnet concept, and it's easy to see when you map out where we're living, right? Every little dot has an area of influence in the county. Every dot. And we covered almost a lot of where everybody's living. And so the main focus of these groups is going to be evangelistic. And we look at, what are we doing? And we're taking the Bible to our communities. And how are we going to do that? What is it going to be? What's it going to work like? And we're talking about the details in just a minute. But you know what? It's easier to say to somebody, why don't you come over to my house, than it is, why don't you come to church with me? You think that's easier to do? Let's go to a friend's house. We're going to have a Bible study and pray together. An hour and a half. That's easier to do. Because there's a lot of people out there who are already going to Bible studies. There's a lot of people out there who believe in Christ and want to study and know more about Him. And that's an easy sell. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can invite somebody to my house. I can invite somebody to a friend's house. I can do that. And people may be more ready to do that, more ready to attend something like that, because you come here and it's scary. Y'all are scary sometimes. But what I mean by that is you come in here and there's new people, you don't know them, they're singing. I don't sing in the shower and in my car, I sing. You know, I don't sing in front of people. And so it may be uncomfortable for people, but as we talked about some of our classes, we talked about evangelism. Evangelism, really, what we're trying to do before they come here, what if they had just a view into the church, a window into the church? What does church look like? It looks like the church meeting in my home. And so there they have a window into the church. The church people are normal. They're just like me. Sometimes we get an idea. Sometimes people think, well, church people are just different. They're just radical by nature, you know. But people are normal. I know these people. They're kind. They care about who I am. And then after a few times, they might start coming here. And so the end result is, guys, we're going to hopefully start seeing more dots on that map. That's what we're looking for. That's the purpose. When we have these groups, these family groups, and we have a specific purpose. I don't know, do you like doing something just because? When I was a kid growing up, there seemed to be things that mom and dad asked me to do just because. It's like, are you asking me to do this just because you want to torture me? You know what I'm saying? But if we get to see the bigger picture, does that not put more purpose into what we're doing? Here's the bigger picture. We want more dots on that map. We want more of our friends and family and neighbors in the kingdom of God. And we're taking the church to our communities. What does the church look like? They're going to see what the church looks like. It's not just here, as Dan was mentioning. They're going to see the church in our communities, and we're putting our faith into practice. This is another opportunity, as we talked about, with God we can. This is another opportunity to put my faith and engage it and put it in practice. I can invite somebody to my house or to my friend's house, right? I can do that. That's non-threatening. And if they don't come, that's fine. Leave that invitation open. We never close doors. You know, as we think about personal work, and you talk to somebody and they say no, sometimes we get this idea, well, they rejected me. They didn't reject you. They rejected Christ and they rejected the invitation. You're just there to give them the invitation. So don't take it as a form of rejection. Just take it, they're not ready yet. They're not ready yet. And leave that door open. Because there may be a point in their life and they'll come screaming to you, this happened in my life, or this is going on, and I need help. You've always been somebody of wise counsel. You've always been somebody that cared for me. Leave that door open. And we're putting our faith into practice. Another part of this, and it's just naturally going to happen, is edification. And as we talk about time together, we talk about edification, we're going to talk primarily about time in God's Word. We're going to study together. And the studies we're going to be having are studies that are edifying for us and are something that's going to be good for those who are visitors and those kind of things. And we're going to be going through a particular study, and all the different groups are going to be studying the same thing at the same time and going through a study that either we put together or a booklet of some sort. But the focus is time in God's Word. Time in God's Word. And we all need that. We all need that. But Palm Beach County needs that. Time with one another. And this is, again, we talked about one another passages. And this is that idea of we come together as a congregation. We have our individual groups, youth, senior high, young adults, and ages north. But we also have one another time. Right? When we get together, that's that intergenerational concept that the younger people need to see the older people practicing their faith. And we need to see that. And as older people, we need to see the younger people coming up in the ranks, so to speak. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. We need to have that time together. We also need to think about the concept of how this impacts us individually. I can invite people to this. It can be in my home. If you have a family and you have young children and you tell the children, the church is coming to our house today. You know, we get in that mode of saying, we're going to church, we're going to church, we're going to church. And that's sort of one of my peeves. I guess this is a place to announce our pet peeves. But that's sort of one of my peeves. Is like, we're not going to church, we are church, right? We are church. We're going to worship. We're going to where the church meets. But what if you told your children, the church is coming to our house today? And your job is to open the door. Your job is to open the door. Trey, your job is to open the door, young man. We're opening the door. Rhoda opened the door. You remember the story of Rhoda? She had an impact on the church. She got to come and say, hey, Peter's here. And they didn't believe her at first. But everybody has a place to serve. Children need to see church in their home. Children need to see practice. What does it look like? They need to see a church in practice. And so we part that together. We put that together as far as intergenerational. Time spent recharging. We talk about we talk about other things that we do together, but this is once a month, us getting together and seeing each other outside of these walls and recharge. You know, time spent together, people of like precious faith. Is encouraging. And we come in our work clothes, we come as we are, and we come together, and we're not dressed up like we have to dress up, and we come together, and we're the church, being what the church needs to be for one another. Time spent recharging, time spent in each other's lives. Well, what happens next? It's evangelism, it's edifying, it's the church in our home, but what's next? We started this and we kicked this off by getting together with some families and saying, we really want to encourage you, families from every group, we really want to encourage you to be involved. And we really want to encourage all of you to be involved as much as possible. Oh, we know we're not going to be able to be there every single time. But if we have a group meeting once a month, that's a huge thing. But what if we keep growing to where we have, right now we have four groups. What if we had group one, east and west? Group two, east and west. Do you see the possibilities of this? As this continues to grow, and we can't, well, what if we say group one, we don't have a house in group one that 40 people can meet in. We're going to have to go east and west on that, right? We're going to have to divide that up. But you see the possibilities. And so what happens next? We're talking about the growth. And in the future, you're going to start hearing announcements about group meetings. And you're going to say group one is going to be meeting in this home at this time. And then after that, I'll be there for the first two meetings. What's going to happen with this is the first in March and April, we're going to meet. And every week, or rather, I will be somewhere every week, but we'll set it up to where I can be at the first two meetings of every group. And we're going to start off by saying, here's what we're studying. Here's how we do this. Here's the flavor. Here's the feel that we need to have for this for the first 2 months. In our second meeting, we're going to talk about who's going to be heading this up, because we need to have leaders in general. Where are the places we can meet? Talk about those kind of operational details, and then you're on your own. That group, or each group, needs to develop its own flavor. Does that make sense? So the group and group one is going to be different than group four, and vice versa. Just because of geographical locations, just the things, how things work out, it's going to be different. So the time they're going to meet is going to be different. The place they're going to meet may be different. The day of the week may be different, but each group is going to have its sort of its own feel, its own identity. And then you'll continue to hear announcements about the groups, about what's going on in different groups, what's happening with the different groups, where they're meeting, and then hopefully you'll start seeing new faces in this building, more new faces in this building. And so that's where we're working towards with these family groups: evangelism, edification, as far as the work, and this intercongregational, intergenerational concept that we're involved in each other's life. We're a church that works together, we meet in the home, and we can say we're doing it just like we read about in the New Testament.
There are a lot of details that are yet, obviously, to be announced and worked out. But can I give you a visualization of what we're talking about? In the area where you live, there are people that you'd never be able to get to come to this building. But you say, I've got a friend, they're having a Bible study next Tuesday night up at his house. I know you're good. I know you like to study. I know you can go to church. How about coming to that Bible study? And he walks into that place. That ought to be something that every one of us, as we've sung about this morning, lead me to some soul today. What a great, great opportunity. Now imagine that person walks in, or that person doesn't walk in, but you're there. Somebody else has got their friend, got their neighbor there in that place, and here's what they see. Not just old folks. They see those that are young adults. They see the teens and junior and senior high both with their Bibles open. And they're sitting there studying the Bible. And these young people are part of that Bible study. Imagine the impact if in one of these studies that here's a child that's 7 or 8 years of age, and he's got his Bible open, he's sitting maybe with his mom, with his dad, maybe with brothers and sisters, and he's sitting there trying to make notes about this. Imagine the impact that has on any visitor that walks in there. Because you know we study the Bible more than other churches do. And then all of a sudden to see young people that are really, really interested in it. So these groups, they're not just for old folks. They're for everybody. It's this intergenerational thing that we're going to build in this church. And then we'll get to know each other better. I wish sometimes that we knew more about the lives of each other, and sitting and talking to somebody before that group meets or after the group meets, sitting and visiting together, be amazed what we could learn. You may not be aware that there are people from 35 different states in America as a part of this church. Isn't that remarkable? You stop and think about that, and then think of the diversity. Are you aware that We have a member of this church who came in fourth place, or a part of this church who came into fourth place in the National Cheerleaders. You aware of that? Are you aware that we've got members of this church that were behind the Iron Curtain whenever the Cold War was going on and was involved in the fighting for liberty that was going on there? Are you aware in this church that we have, and you fill in the blank, you'll never know that until you sit and visit with them. Anybody know where Gary Friedley's from? Anybody know what Gary Friedley's hobbies are? Just take him as an example. Woodworking, Kentucky basketball, why wouldn't he be for that? You understand? And just to sit and to visit and to know each other. And he'll build those relationships, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. Visualize that happening. What's involved? It's one night a month. Then we'll go to some member's home who lives in our area, somebody that we know, and people that will be there that we don't know well at all. You look around the group that you're sitting with and think, I didn't know they lived out in my area. What an opportunity this will provide for all of us. And then there is that one another closeness that will develop. And that's what it's all about. It's evangelism. It's edification. It's building intergenerational relationships so that we can be close to each other. When you think of church, you need to think about the people and the work that they're vitally interested in, evangelism and edification and in each other, and how wonderful it will be. And then think, when we assemble here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, when we assemble here, we'll already be closer to the people that we're worshiping with, closer than we've ever been. Great, great concept. And Josh, we appreciate so much for the energies that you've devoted to bring this about. And now the work is up to us to get excited about it and to be a part of it as we progress beginning next month into more details about this group. We would not want to end this service without providing an opportunity for people who need the Lord to be a part of their lives, for them to become a part of God's plan. The plan of salvation is not something that we've worked out. It was God's plan. That's why He built the church, so that people could learn that they, if they're going to go to heaven, they've got to believe in Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." Jesus said that. And how wonderful it is to know that I'd be a part of His plan. But to do that, I must believe in Him, and I've got to change my life, change my devotion. It's called repentance. Change my heart. It'll result in a changed life. And if you haven't done that, Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. The Son of God said that. And when we confess our faith that Jesus is the Son of God, we can be baptized into the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says that we're baptized into the body, into the church, into that plan that God had for 4,000 years before He announced it. And you could do that this morning. We've got a baptistry here. We've got the clothing here. You could become a part of the body, a part of the family of God, and become a worker in this church, knowing that you're in the family of God, the kingdom of heaven, you're in the church of the Lord. And then He says to all of us, now don't you dare give up. Until the day that you die, you be full of faith, and I'll give you the crown of life. If this church can help you go to heaven in any way, won't you let it be known how we can help you by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?